know some wonderful love. Is doing a wonderful thing. The storm is passing over. Yes. Right? I love that, that's the opening for today's message, because sometimes we have, you know, the seasons of life, and sometimes it's a stormy season, a rough season, a challenging season. And with spring also comes some what? Some showers, some storms, thunderstorms or whatever. But that's okay, because we can count on the fact that the storm will be passing over. So thank you for that. They're always in tune with what is happening. So I say welcome, welcome to all of you this morning. Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Thank you. You know, I like to hear my vibration and feel that vibration as well. And to you who are home, I know you have a side view. There we go, because I'm speaking to you as well. And I welcome you to this morning's service. I thank you for your spirit and your consciousness as you're tuning in. And so we appreciate your being here. And as always, I also appreciate you who come into the flesh, because there's something wonderful about when we are in community with each other, when we can feel the vibration of one another. There's nothing like gathering and fellowshipping and worshiping together. So I thank all of you who are here this morning in the flesh, in the flesh. And I just wanted to say to those of you who haven't been here in a while, I want you to come, because I want to see you. Well, thank you. But I have an ulterior motive. I want to see you. I want to touch you. I want to reminisce with you. I want to just have the experience of you before my experience here is over. So I really would like to see you and to connect with you. So you have an open invitation. I told the board I'm going to put some motherly guilt on people. I want to guilt you into coming, because I want to, you know, just like a parent when their children have grown and they're gone, they want their children to come back and see them and connect. So they put a little, well, I haven't heard from you in a while, or how's everything, or I kind of miss you. And that's your cue to know, well, let me either call my mama or let me go see my dad or whatever. So I'm putting that call out to all of you as well. Let me see your face in the place. It will do my heart good and some wonders. So welcome again, welcome again. You know, I'm feeling that time is of the essence in a number of ways. Time is of the essence. Time is also short. Time is also money. Time waits for no one. Time is on my side. Time is running out. We've got to make time. I could go on and on. I said, well, stop, Sylvia, because I was just getting into, yeah, it's time. But this whole thing of time has been on my mind a lot lately. I had a wonderful service for a long-time member yesterday, Albertina Lane. Long member, long good friend. But her time had come, right? And all of our time is going to come at one point or another. And the question is, well, what are we doing with our time? How are we using our time? I said to Trudy at the service, I said, well, we need to hurry up and live fast. You know, we got to live fast, man. And so really that's on my mind. What am I going to do, and how am I going to handle my time, as I'm a short timer? I'm a short timer in these few months, and so it's like, well, I'm trying to stay grounded, trying to stay at peace, and just like many of you have expressed to me that this is a challenge in terms of, you know, my leaving and what you're feeling, and I said, it's a challenge for me too, because I still feel I have still a lot of stuff to do. I still have a lot to give and to offer. But I also know that a season has come. A new season. And so I might have to find a different way to handle all that I have to give. But in the midst of that, in the midst of everything, I'm trying to stay grounded and focused and at peace, because I know it's the right decision. But I also know there's a ton of things that I must do. Just cleaning up my office at home and here is going to be a feat in and of itself. I got 35 years worth of stuff that I have to release and let go. And so I have a fun thing that I'm going to be doing. I'll tell you all about it in the future. But hopefully it'll be an opportunity for me to release some things and in a way that I think will be fun and profitable for the church and good for all of you as well. But I'm watching myself in my own process, my ups and downs. And one minute I'm like, yeah, this is good. The next minute I'm like, oh, my goodness. Oh, you know. So I have ups, I have downs, I have ins, and I have outs. And all the time I'm like, okay, let me be present to whatever it is that's taking place in me, whatever I'm feeling. But let me see if I could bring a new energy to it. If it's something that's getting me down or the thought of it is bringing me down, then I try to stop and say, okay, how else can I think about this? What else can I feel about this? What else may be happening? The Bible says, and we're very familiar with this quote from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, says, to everything there is a season, right? A time for every purpose under heaven. There's a lot in that one little phrase. And then it goes on, of course, a time to die. It tells you about the different times. But there is a season. To everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So when I began to meditate just on that first verse of Ecclesiastes, at its core, this whole passage is speaking to two major truths or two threads. And one is that there is a cyclical nature of existence, right? And two, it talks about the inevitability of change. There's a cyclical nature, there's a season. So a season is not just, you know, it comes and then we have no more. Seasons are what? They are cyclical, right? We just had the equinox, so we are now in the what season? We're in the spring season. We're in the spring season. Now, what I like about this is that a season lets us know that there's a beginning. A season has a beginning, and it has what? An ending. But the wonderful thing about a season is that the ending is never the end, because the season will do what? Start again. It'll come again. And it will end again. But then there'll be another season. So I'm thinking, you know, if we just look at spring. Spring is a new season is upon us. But everything is new in this season. Right? You have a tree. And I love this because there's something very powerful that happens when that we can see it most during springtime. When the trees, have you noticed that the trees all begin their budding process what? At the same time. There's a bunch of trees in the back of my house. And it isn't though, oh, this tree decides to bud, and then 2 weeks later, that one, when the season comes, I look out my window and phew, all of them have bloomed and budded. Something happened. They got a signal. You know, it says that trees talk to each other through their roots, and there's a connection. When one tree is sick, all the trees know about it and do what they can. If it's not past saving, then they might leave it alone and let it go. But if it's past days, they send their nutrients and their energy to that tree. Right? So we think we're the only intelligent force in the universe. But life itself is built up and filled with intelligence and things knowing how to work together in the right way and at the right time. And so with this season that comes, it's a new season, but it's not the same season as last spring. The tree is budding new leaves, but they are not what? The same leaves as last season. So while we have this changing and this newness, it's the same, but not the same. So the cycle will continue. The seasons continue, but everything can be new within a season. And we are about to enter into a new season personally in our lives, you know? And I'm trying to capitalize on the energy because life, we know as metaphysicians, is filled with energy, right? Everything is energy. Like I said, the trees, the plants, the flowers, they're responding to the divine energy of life itself. And they know what to do and they're unfolding. The tulips will come at the right time. The tulips are not going to bloom in the dead of winter. Everybody knows its place on the earth. And so sometimes we're trying to just catch up. We think we're the slow ones. We think we got it all figured out, but we create more challenge if we could just get into the divine flow. I just met a young man, a new young man. He was sitting there. I asked him what his name was, and he told me, Cadence. And I said, I'd never heard that. I said, I have a meaning. Do you have a meaning? And tell me the meaning you gave me, Cadence. Just shout it out. Rhythmic flow. That's the rhythmic flow. And what is a cadence but a what? A rhythmic flow. And I asked him, are you in the divine flow of life? And he said, yes. Are you in the divine flow of life? There's a rhythm and a cadence, right? A knowing and an unfolding to life that we are all a part of. And when we are unconscious, sometimes we miss. Well, where everybody's bloomed. Wait a minute, I'm over here. But there's a rhythm and a cadence. So this whole thing about a season is that it is cyclical. Nature comes around, goes around, time and time and time again, but it's new each time. And that's something that we can rely upon, something that's really powerful, because nothing is permanent. Nothing is permanent, not even our joys nor our sorrows. And we're going to have both, right? But nothing is permanent. You know, I just came in here and I was looking at my, I keep a picture of my buddies over there, had Reverend Charlotte and Cynthia. I said, okay, Cynthia, hey, Rev, Charlotte, I talked to them, but nothing is permanent. They have moved on, and now another one of my sisters has moved on. And so it's like, wow. But guess what? My sorrow will have to do what as well? Move on. Weeping may tarry for a night, but joy will come in the morning. And then when we have joy, we're going to have an experience of sorrow. That's just the cycle of life. And if we could really latch on to that and get into this rhythmic flow and to understand, oh, a new season has come upon me. And what happens is we forget sometimes that a season has come, you know? And it doesn't mean that, you know, when we say we move into seasons, that it means my next season I'm going to be old and decrepit. But make no mistake, my body, your body, is going to undergo a season of change. It doesn't mean that we have to be like, my knee's been bothering me, so I'm trying not to limp and all of that. We might not have to have that, but you can rest assured your body is going to change and age. There'll be a season to it. And when I look in the mirror, I just mourn the seasons of past. I'm like, Lord, when did all of this happen? But then I have to also feel joy. Because I can do what? I can breathe into this body today. Right? So I can have some joy about that. And so there are four areas in which, you know, we have to look at change that's going to be inevitable. And if we could understand that, it would help us to feel a sense of wholeness and completeness. So not only are we going to have to undergo change and transformation and have a season physically, because we're not the same as when we were, you know, little. Or I'm not the same as when I was 10 years ago, even getting out on the golf course. My swing is different. And I haven't been playing for a couple of years because of my situation. I have a port in here. And so when they get out and take it out, it could be maybe 3 or 4 years before I played. And so when I get out there, I'm sure that my body and my swing will have undergone. I'm not going to get out there and do it like I was 25. I'll have to adjust. I'm going to try to get out there, but I have to adjust to what? The changes that have occurred in my physical body. So there are changes that we must undergo, not just physical, but there will be emotional, mental, or psychological, and spiritual changes as well. And all of those areas require growth and change on our part. So what I'm saying is that, let's take emotionality next. Hopefully you are not at the same emotional level as you were when you were five. Right? Because when you were five, you had an emotional level, but you couldn't handle much. When you went to the store and you saw a piece of candy that you wanted, and your mother said to you, "Don't ask me for nothing when we get in this store." And you go into the store and you see the candy and you ask, "Can I have it?" And the answer is no. And then you have an emotional what? Breakdown. Right? Because at five, you have emotions, but you're not really sure how to handle them, how to put things into perspective. All you know is you want the candy. I don't want to hear about you can't afford it. I don't want to hear about your job. I need and want the candy. That's the emotional level. And as we teach and as we grow, hopefully we learn to help the kid to manage their emotions, right? But unfortunately, this is one of the areas that very few of us have had practice on or bring conscious energy towards. Because sometimes we get stuck in an emotional level. Maybe we're not at the five-year-old level. But sometimes people get stuck in their adolescent level, right? And so they're adults, but somehow they got emotionally arrested in their teens. So even though they're 30, they want to still do the thrill-seeking things that they did when they were 18, you know? So because we haven't really been taught to focus on this level of development for ourselves and to assess, well, where is my emotional level, my level of emotional intelligence? And I will admit, this is one of my areas that I know I need to work on. Because I feel, I'm an empath. I feel everything. And I haven't yet had to figure out how not to take everything in. Because it upsets me, it doesn't take much to take me off of my game, and then I got to check it out and see that I'm off and then do the work to get myself back in track, do my prayer work, and then the mind goes on, right? And then I'm doing that until I recognize, well, these thoughts aren't helping either. These feelings ain't helping. These thoughts ain't helping. Wait a minute. I got to apply some truth. Maybe that'll help. So it's a process, right? So we have to ask, what season are you in emotionally? Do you really know? You know, what are you feeling and how do you handle those things emotionally? We don't want to get stuck. We want to be able to progress and to move ahead. And the new thing that people are studying now is emotional intelligence. So that's there's always a new wave of something. And that's a good one because most of us could benefit from that, I believe. The same could be said for our mental capacity, our mental health, our mental level. So have you grown in your thinking capacity? Has your thinking changed from when you were younger? Right? This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 13:11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as what? A child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man/woman, I put away childish things, right? So has our thinking level changed? When I was younger, I had a certain perception of the world. And as I grow and mature, it's changing a bit. And how do I think? What are your beliefs? What are your values? What are the things that you hold dear? If your beliefs have not changed, and first of all, we don't examine our beliefs. We just go on. We think, we say, we speak, all unconsciously. So are we at the same level of thinking capacity than we were when we were 13 or 15 or an adolescent or young adult, 20, 30? I'm not going to go too much higher because then I'll be getting into my own stuff, but it could be even 40s. Because each level has a what? A season. right? A season. We were laughing, my mother and I was like, yeah, I had to recognize, oh, gee, I think I'm getting older. It just is, this is such a new revelation for me. It really is. But I am moving into another season. And yet, my mother is still a season ahead of me, right? And so I'm watching her season, looking at my season, and trying to figure out where am I in the process. So what is my thinking level that has a season as well? So when was the last time you examined your thoughts and your beliefs? And have you measured, do they still work for you? Are your values still the same, or have you grown or changed? See, or has a new season dawned and arrived within your thinking and your intelligence, and your, but you've resisted it. You're resisting this new season of thinking, of doing. Well, this is the way I've always done it. This is the way we've always had it. This is the way, you know, it's been done in the past. And I'm thinking about when your new minister comes, I'm praying that you will understand that you're simply moving into a new season, and that you give that individual the opportunity to share new visions, new insights, new perspective. Yes, they'll be trained not to come in and just wipe everything out at once, because we learned that in ministerial school. It'd be too much of a shock. But change will happen. They will bring new insights. But if you all are going to be, well, that's not the way we did it in the past, or that's the way Reverend Sylvia did it, we used to do it this way, we had the order of service like this, 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 and this. Maybe they want to change the order of service or whatever. That be open and not locked into the season of how we have functioned, lo, these last 35 years. I don't know what they'll bring. I don't know who they'll be. My prayer is that they're going to come into an open community, a vibrant community that's willing to receive the gifts that they're going to bring, the insights they're going to bring, and not try to make them fit into this round peg hole or whatever it is. Be open. Be open. A new season is coming, and it's okay. Because there'll still be the foundation, right? Spring is coming, but it's not going to be the same new leaves, but it'll still be spring. You'll still be Unity of Washington, D.C., but there'll be a new vibe, a new energy, a new person. Give them the opportunity. Don't try to squeeze them into your perception. Here, work together. Because they're going to be doing the same thing. They have to get to know you. You have to get to know them. And there has to be a willingness. But if there's a narrowing, then it's going to create challenges for whomever come. There's a season. So look at your beliefs. Look at the things that you've been holding on to. Look at the way in which you think. This is it. Because it's a new level coming. Our thinking has a season. Our values have a season. Our beliefs have a season. Doesn't mean we throw them out, but they may change a little bit, right? Because nothing is going to remain the same. I don't know what this addiction to going back, we all have an addiction to going, we want to go back, you know? I said, oh boy, I wish I could go back. If I could do it then, if, knowing what I know now, if I could go back and do it over again, you can't go back. You can't know. So this make America great, that, when was it great? You can't go back, okay? And the greatness has been all along through each what? Level of growth, level of evolvement, level of understanding. We're growing as a nation, as a people, and the people on the planet. We're waking up, so things are evolving. This penchant for wanting to go back or to do, it doesn't happen. It's not the natural rhythm and order of life. You can't go back, and neither do things remain the same. That's just the way that it works. Nothing remains the same, right? They're going to change. So look at the season that your mind is in right now. Look at the season of your consciousness. You know, is it requiring, is the universe pressing upon you to do something new, think something new, experience something new? Because you all know when the universe is nudging you, right? And it, you know, it'll nudge you for a while. And you keep ignoring it, then it's going to push you. And if you keep ignoring the push, then it's going to slap you into the next level of great. You're laughing because you've had that experience, right? Yeah. I've had that myself. When if I just picked up the signal earlier, I wouldn't have had to have, you know, what they say, a hard head makes a soft you know what. And so I'm catching on a little bit. This is what wisdom will do. This is what, you know, maturing will do. I'm starting to catch on a little bit in some areas. I still have a ways to go, but I'm starting to say, oh, wait a minute. Oh, that felt like a push. That was a nudge, but this feels like a push. I'll check it out before I get to the slap or the whatever. So this last category, we want to keep our minds fresh, keep our thinking and our perspective, keep our emotional level done, keep up with our physical changes. But there must be spiritual changes as well. And we think, you know, spirituality, there's a spiritual perspective I have that doesn't change. But yes, there's such a thing as spiritual maturity. Such a thing as spiritual maturity. We have to grow and advance spiritually as well as physically, mentally, emotionally. You gotta grow and advance spiritually. So I would ask you, do you think you're at the same level in your spiritual understanding and approach to life as you were 10 years ago? Or when you first started on the path? Are you at the level, has your spiritual intelligence, your spiritual energy, has it grown? Has your vibration changed at some level, right? Has your discernment skills increased or your intuitive nature? I've noticed that my intuitive nature has sharpened. Doesn't take me as long. I can read energy and people a little faster than when I was younger and just starting out. I know a little something, something. You know, and the meditations and the prayers have shifted my consciousness a little bit. So I have grown. And then there are other areas spiritually where I still have lots of work to do, right? So I want to figure out, have I been able to raise my vibration so that I can actually affect my world? We talk a lot in Unity about manifestation. We talk a lot about demonstration. That at certain levels, you ought to be able to demonstrate a certain level or shift in your life and in your consciousness. If you are still at the level of trying to pray for a parking space, which is good, because when you first start, you recognize you can do that. And we get excited, I do anyway, get excited. We'll say, okay, I need a parking space here, Lord. And what? A parking space appears. And I'm like, woo! But now it's like, well, I need a healing, Lord. This is a little bit more than a parking space. But the process is the same. So have I grown in my ability to spiritually move to another level? In certain areas, I have. And in certain areas, I realized, I got to strengthen my faith, my energy, maybe focus more. So I'm working on my meditation that, all right, I need to focus on all of my spiritual centers. I'm developing a new thing so I can start with my Christ consciousness and my third eye so I can know more. I want to speak here, so I'm speaking. I got to open up the heart a little bit more. I got to get into my solar plexus, my grounding area. I got to get into my life and degenerative area so that I'm pushing that energy. So I have lots of work to do. I've grown, but I know there's much more for me to grow and to do. Jesus said this. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, as metaphysicians, you ought to know that your house represents what? Consciousness. Thank you, Lord. I'm just testing to see if my 35 years here has done anything. Yes. Good. A house represents your consciousness, because that's where you live, where you dwell. We think we dwell out here. You're living, everything that's taking place in your life is taking place right up in here. All your experiences, naming it good, bad, or all of it, your feelings, it's all taking place in your consciousness. But Jesus said, in my Father's house, in the consciousness of God, There are many what? Mansions. Many places, in some scriptures, it's many rooms, meaning many levels to consciousness. And he said, if it were not so, I would have told you so. And I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be what? Also. Meaning we have the capacity to raise our spiritual consciousness to the level of Christ consciousness. We have that capacity. And that may take a little bit of work on our part. But it's possible. Because he said, if it were not so, I would have told you so. So there are many levels of our consciousness that we need to develop into our awareness and keep working on it so that we are progressing, unfolding, transforming, being enlightened. You know, I've been on this path of truth for probably more than 50 years. Seriously. I started well into my, my teens, but seriously in my 20s when I embarked upon this path. It's been a journey. I've learned some things, and then I've also recognized I got a long ways to go. I keep learning the same thing over and over, but at a deeper level, right? I have the same lesson, but it's widening. My experience of the lesson is getting deeper and deeper. So as it, like a spiral, I keep coming to the same life. There are life lessons that each soul comes in here to experience. And so I have my life lessons that I have to learn, and I recognize, I have one. For me, I don't like conflict. And so what I do is I avoid it, which means I may avoid serious questions. If I have to have, you know, a discussion or a conversation that might be a little challenging, I just hate it. I hate it. I put it off. But the more I put it off, the more, the worse it gets, right? Worser and worser, right? And it comes back around until I gotta deal with it. This is my life lesson. And so I'm at a place now, it's like, okay, you know, you're going to have to jump in here. These are life lessons, but you have time now to go deep, to develop. You can't be at the same level around this issue. Grow, change, jump in. And if having the conversation kills you, then so be it. You know, what's the word? You know, but we think that, right? That something, if I address this issue that's been challenging me, that something, it'll be the end of me. No, you're just going to learn something. You're going to grow. You'll still exist. Life will still go on. This is it. But so where are you spiritually in my Father's house? Are you progressing? Are you changing? Are you shifting? Because you need to move into different levels and experiences spiritually as well. Has your Christ consciousness grown? Have your spiritual abilities changed and grown? Are you? Can you demonstrate? Can you manifest? Can you command, you know, your mind? And there's certain things we'll never be able to command that, because there'll be always things that are above and beyond our control, right? But we have been given quite a bit that we can work with. But we just have to figure out, well, where am I on the spectrum of spiritual development, spiritual growth? A friend, good friend of mine gave me two books when I first started out on the spiritual path. I did a lot of reading, a lot of places. And I used to go to do Siddha yoga meditation and practice under Swami Muktananda. And when I was, this was like, I don't know, 20s or 30s or whatever, I was exploring everything. How to read the head, I was into everything because the spiritual path was calling me. I just had to define, you know, I had to define it a little bit for myself. Oh, this is my path. But I was trying everything. And she had come to visit, and she was asking me about that experience. And I told her yes, and that he had given me a spiritual name. And, you know, and the name is so apropos to me, but it's Johnny, and it means a poet saint who was so devoted to God. This was in my 20s when I got this. So devoted to God that she caused God to come and to work with her and to worship with her. And it's a God of wisdom. It's a poet. She's a poet of wisdom and words. And that's kind of me. But anyway, so in the mail, two books came recently. Now, I haven't read anything, you know, from that era, from Muktananda in probably 30, 40 years. And so I got these two new books, and I said, oh, well, you know what? I need a refresher. Let me let me pick. So I picked which book. One title is Where Are You Going? And then the other title is I Have Become Alive. And so I meditated and I felt, where are you going? Because I'm trying to figure out where I'm going. So I picked that one and I started reading it. Now, the principles and the teachings that I've read so far in the first chapter are nothing new to me. But guess what? It's new to me. Because I'm at a different level and a different season of my life, even in my spiritual growth, than when I was 30 years ago or 20 years ago. So I'm reading it now with a different, what, outlook, a different understanding, a different vibration. I'm like, oh, okay. So, I text my friend, thank you for bringing this back to me, because I haven't dealt with Siddha Yoga in I don't know how long. I've been to India and back for 10 years, but this has taken me back 20, 30 years. And I'm seeing where I am in my understanding. And thank God there's been just a little increase. But now I'm open and ready to what? I'm ready to have an even deeper increase. I'm ready for more. I'm ready for the next. And even if it's the same lessons in spiritual, I'm ready. I've been around the block spiritually for a long time. I've been a student of metaphysics for a long time. But every moment can be a new moment. Every moment I can learn something, and it should be moving me into what? One of the many mansions. In my Father's house, the house of God, are many levels. And they're mansions, not just rooms. I like when some scripture says there are many rooms, many places, many rooms. I like the one that says mansions. Because that comes with a lot of, yeah. And so I went, what mansion are you in right now? Where do I need to go to be in a higher mansion? To do something different? What's the level of my Christ consciousness that I've developed at this point and stage in my journey? And I can't say that I'm there fully, for sure. But I think I'm in progress, and I think I'm trying to work that out. So this is what Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 3. And I'm going to read some of the scriptures from the different places here. So I bring out this heavy, heavy Bible. So we're talking about, what can we take in spiritually? Have we grown, right? And so this is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through, and I pick 1 through, I guess, whatever, I'll stop. And anyway, and I'm going to read the New International Version, then the New Living, and then the Message, because the Message throws it down. So, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. This is Jesus now. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to certain people in the church, all of his followers, right? And he says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Meaning he's saying, now I can't speak to you at that top level because you ain't there yet, right? I gave you milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. For since there is, and he says, you're still worldly. Let me read it again. He says, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ, meaning we're still ruled by so much of out here than rather our internal world, right? He says, I gave you milk, not solid food. What do you give milk to? A baby, an infant. He says, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it yet. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Because we are fully human and fully divine. But sometimes our fully human part takes over and we forget that we are fully divine, right? And he says, are you not acting like mere humans? And I won't go into the next one. So that's new. And the NIV version, this one, the New Living says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. You still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature, and we would say by the error nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? The message says this. Let me see what I'll read the New King James too. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? The message. But for right now, friends, I'm completely frustrated by your spiritual dealings with each other and with God. See, the message just jumps right on in it, right? You're acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing more than nursing at the breast. Well, then, I'll nurse you, since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, see, all these outer things. I need to show people how important. I'm up here. I'm doing this, doing that. He says, as long as you're doing all this outer stuff, you ain't ready. Because the spiritual world is about your what? Your inner world. Your consciousness. Not for show. And he says, as long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much different than a babe at the breast? Content only when everything's going your way. Wow. So spiritually, this tells me that we are supposed to mature spiritually. We can't be at the same level of when you started coming. Some of you, thank God, I'm grateful for you. You've been coming here as long as I've been here. Some of you have been on the path that I know have been on it before I even got here, right? But are we spiritually mature? Including myself. What's my level of spiritual maturity? Have I grown? Where have I grown? And where do I still need to grow? And I also am doing my assessment and giving myself a pat on the back for the areas that I have grown in. You know, so it's not all what I need to do, because as long as you're here on the planet, guess what? There's going to always be something that you have to aspire to, that you want to grow into. That's life. But I also want to give myself, you know, appreciation for when I did catch myself when I was about to go off. You know, when it was like Brooklyn was getting me to come on out, and I was like, mm-mm-mm, pull her back. And so when I'm able to do that, I go, ooh, okay, when I get home, okay, that was good. A little progress. Now, that doesn't mean she might not come out again, but at least I honor where I have grown. But I also recognize where I still need to do what? Grow. And spiritually mature. You are metaphysicians, you are light bearers, you are truth tellers, truth seekers. And so when all these worldly things come out, you've got to hit it first from a spiritual perspective. Don't jump right in from your human consciousness, because that's not going to lead you where you need to go. So when I find myself out there, I have to pull myself back and say, how can I hit this spiritually? What do I need to do? So I'm grounding myself in spirit, because I feel all my human emotions coming into bear, you know. And it's like, no. Let me get my spiritual. So I'm asking, show spiritually, where do I need to go? What do I need to express? How can I express spiritually? Let me do that first. And then my outer will catch up to my inner. That's the goal in my Father's house. So are you growing spiritually? Are you ready for some spiritual meat, some spiritual substance? Not just, you know, food. Sometimes I keep it very light, but maybe when I have a class, I want to go deep. And I don't do it all the time during the year, because there are many people at different levels or whatever, and I try to give enough that I can try to meet everybody. But sometimes we need to go deeper. There's a deeper teaching and a deeper level. So where have you grown spiritually? What season are you in your life spiritually? And do you need to, are you maturing, or are you stagnant? Do you need to grow? Are you aware of your growing edges and what needs to happen? Right? So we have to put in the work. But here's the thing. God is always working as well. God is always working at well, because God knows what season it is. God knows what season you're in. And so we must work and God must work. But there's a spiritual component to the cycles of life, a divine timing, if you will. And we have to figure out where we are in this divine timing, because there are going to be certain things that are not ours to control, certain things that we can, but there are certain things that God has already worked it out. God is in control, keeps the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything in its place. We don't do that. We can add to that, but there's, you know, there's a place where God is always working it out. Just like that system, that divine system that tells the flowers and the trees to bloom, they are in tune to that system. We can get in tune with God's presence. And when we start to align ourselves with that higher vibration, we're going to start to receive whatever we need. It's time to move. It's time to be still. It's time to pray. It's time to weep. It's time to mourn. It's time to do this. We will know because we're in tune with the presence and power of God, the creator of every system that there is. And so, what are we doing when we rely upon that, when we rely upon God? To everything, there is a season, and the second part is, and a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a purpose for things. Even when we can't see the purpose, have you ever said, now, I don't know what that was about. Why did this happen to me? Why did this come at this point in time? I didn't need this right now. Apparently, you did. Because there is a purpose for everything under heaven, which means there are higher workings out that our soul, our spirit, our higher consciousness is working with the divine to bring about in our lives and affairs. And it may not be conscious to us. Sometimes the subconscious is doing more work for us than we recognize, right? So there's a purpose for everything. And even if it's little, so we can start, what is the purpose? Maybe the question might be asking, not why did this happen? What is the purpose for this? Because we can get stuck in the why. We can get hung up in the why. What's the purpose? What's the lesson for this? What's the purpose for this under heaven? And heaven is what? A higher consciousness. So what's the purpose of this from a higher consciousness? Keep getting back to the higher consciousness, not your human consciousness, but what's the purpose in a higher consciousness, right? Because there is a time to every purpose under heaven. Everything, no matter how small or great, has a purpose for its existence and its being, including us. There's a reason for the season. There's a reason for the season of life that you're in right now. There's a reason for the season of life that you're going through. It might be a season of peace. It might be a season of turmoil. It might be a season of confusion. It might be a season of clarity and whatever it is, there's a purpose. And so we first have to figure out, well, what season of life am I in? And then figure out, well, what's the purpose? What is the purpose of my season? What is life trying to teach me? What is it trying to show me? What is it trying to grow me? And I want it to teach me and grow me under heaven, under the highest vibration and order of life there is. I want the highest blessings. I want the highest lessons. And be careful when you say you want the highest blessings and the highest lessons, because you will get it, okay? But you got to be what? Ready for it. Now, if you recognize you can't handle no solid meat, you better go back on the milk. But if you're ready to mature, then you might have to take the higher lessons and the higher understandings. You want to be governed by a higher order. You want to live your life by the higher expression of what it is for you to experience your life. I want the highest and the best. I want, okay, that means I might have to leave the rest. I say, take the highest and the best and leave the rest. You got to leave some of this stuff. You got to outgrow. Some stuff we need to outgrow. Don't matter that you've always done it. You've always been like this. Outgrow it. Because you don't know what you are becoming. You don't know what God has for you to step into, to grow into. Sometimes we think, well, I've reached this level. I'm good. I want to stay here. No, 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 no. Can't stay there. Life is about evolution and growing. So why not do it consciously? Do your part and trust that God is God, doing God's point, God's part. Do that right now. And right now, we all have our individual and personal seasons, but energetically on the planet, or in this at this time on this side of the hemisphere, the season is ripe for new life, for growth. The energy is there for us to take advantage of it. So what new thing is coming your way? Take advantage of the energy and the cycle and the season of newness. What do you need to release, place up aside, and move into? And this is it. What is ready to bloom and to grow? Are you ready to move in the upward, forward progression of life? That's one of the old-time unity affirmations. I am in the upward, forward progression of life. Let me hear you say that. I'm in the upward, forward progression of life. That's the way life goes. I'm blooming. I'm ready to do what is mine to do. So are you ready to catch the vibes of this new season?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.